The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hi, I'm Beatrice from Orlando, Florida, and you're listening to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 458 of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on today's episode is Michelle Scribner-McLean and Chris Eliopoulos, and Len Tester is back for part number three of our roundtable discussion on all things Disney, with today's episode specifically focusing on things that are happening down at Walt Disney World. So if you have an upcoming trip coming up in the spring or summer, you may want to pay special attention to what we're going to talk about. And so without further ado, let's get back to our discussion. There's a few other things I wanted to talk about. Well, first off, do you guys, I'll just go around the table. Do you guys think it was a little premature to have a dining package with Rivers of Light until they really had it set as a, do you think it's fine, Michelle?
I think that there are always the people who are going to pay for the convenience. And yeah. If there's a market there, then why not? There are people who don't want to wait in line with, you know, three kids under 10 and want it to be easy. I say, sure.
Especially if you're going to eat anyways.
Yep, yeah. And it's their only trip to Walt Disney World or every 5 years.
I think that's the target.
Yeah.
I think that's the target audience, people who don't go there.
We're not the target audience, I don't think. But, yeah, I think it's fine.
What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, you know what it is? I think this is Disney's new philosophy. It's how little can we get away with and still get people to pay for it? And that's sort of the running thing now. It used to be, let's plus it. And now it's like, well, what minimum amount can we give them and still charge full price? But they do this. Yeah, it's true. A lot of people, when they've got, you know, a couple of kids running around, for them, the ease of having get sat down without having to, you know, wait for an hour to go see something like, you know, Fantasmic, people are willing to pay for it. So There you go. It's worth it to somebody.
Worth it to you, Lynn?
You know, it is. I mean, I think Michelle had was right when, you know, she said it's for families on vacation, you know, once every couple of years, it's the thing. Also, the convenience thing that Michelle mentioned earlier. I think those are the two big points.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, too, that one of the things that really changed the way I looked at traveling at Walt Disney World was going with my brother and his kids the summer before last. My brother is, he's a wealth manager. Everything he does that is in his personal life is done, what's the fastest way, what's the most convenient way? And it was just like Uber everywhere. And I'm not going to make a reservation. I don't care. Let's just take the kids to the California Grill. And it just, my mouth was on the floor, but I don't think he's the only one who thinks that way. And for him, he would say, let's just do the package. Let's make it easy. And I think there are a lot of people like that. I mean, they're not coming every, you know, a few times a year like I am, but I it just really opened my eyes to, this is, you know, this is a vacation. We want to make it special. It's just throw money at the problem. I don't fault him for that. It's just a different, it's a different way of looking at that. So. Yeah.
But the interesting thing is imagine you're middle class. So the median household income in the United States is around $45,000 a year. You can't really throw money at problems to solve them.
Right.
If you're in the top 10% and you've got, you know, way more disposable income, you can throw money at the problem. So maybe Disney's looking at that and saying, maybe they're pressing themselves for people who can throw money to solve problems or to answer questions.
I agree. Yeah, I agree.
I think you're right.
There you go.
They know they're out there.
It's a great little story.
You know they're out there. This is this next little tidbit is for Chris. I just found out that Disney Audition has posted they're looking for someone to play Star-Lord from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Saw that.
Oh, I'm a little
Chris
too short.
Because, I was going to say, Chris wants to apply?
Yeah, so probably going to be something that's going to be probably a meet and greet probably during the late spring and early summer probably.
Well, I wonder if the Guardians of the Galaxy are not considered part of that ban from Universal.
out of the air.
Yeah.
So they can start bringing some of those characters over. And apparently, the Guardians of the Galaxy are going to appear in the next Avengers movie. So there's a big old crossover going on. So it looks like we're going to see some of the more Marvel characters over there.
So if you look like Peter Quill out there, you know, go.
Yeah, Chris's kids are going to college next year.
Yeah.
Maybe they earn some extra money.
There's another meet and greet experience that's going to happen at the Animal Kingdom. And I think that my granddaughter would love this, Michelle. That is Doc McStuffins is going to be at the Disney's Animal Kingdom, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of excitement with that. So I think that's a big deal. A couple of other things I wanted to mention. First off, I don't know if you guys know that there's a special website that is being that Disney launched to talk about Avatar. Len, did you
hear
about that? I saw
it. Yeah, it looks great.
Yeah.
I was a little disappointed if you click on the terms and conditions. It's the standard Disney terms and conditions. They didn't have a chance to, you know, to do the Avatar, you know, we're not responsible for falling off your flying dragon type thing. That would have been funny. But it looks beautiful.
And for those who would like to visit that site, it's www.visitpandora.com.
I guess at some point I'll need to see the whole movie.
Yeah.
It was on today.
Was it? I was so bored by it, I never saw the whole thing.
Yeah. Really? And Laurel. Yeah.
And I think Len said this earlier that Star Wars is going to open in 2019.
Yeah. Iger announced it.
I like the original Pandora, Dances with Wolves. I thought that was a really much better version of Pandora, Avatar.
Tatanka.
Really, it's the same movie with blue people, right? Exactly. If you think about it.
Exactly. That's funny.
I think what else is going on? Paddlefish is now open.
We sent our dining person there, and my big question was,
person, which is very cool.
We have a dining person. My question was, you know, they've got fish and chips on the menu, and you can have very good fish and chips in Epcot for $15. They have fish and chips, and it's $33. My question was...
God, you're kidding me.
No, I'm like, what the hell is $33 fish and chips like? And apparently, it's worth $33. Our dining person really, really liked it, said it was fantastic. So,
Bonefish Grill. That's where you can get good... down in Florida, go to the Bonefish Grill. That's where you can get good fish and chips.
I gotta say, you know, most of the Disney Spring stuff has been really good. I other than, you know, STK, which is a disaster, I think.
How about Planet Hollywood? Have you sent anyone to Planet Hollywood?
We have. So, have you ever read? This is for your listeners. Have you ever read Pete Wells from the New York Times? His review of Guy Fieri's.
I knew you were going right there. I knew it.
Guy Fieri's restaurant in Times Square, the single greatest piece of culinary journalism I have ever read in my entire life.
Yeah. Which
was the first thing.
My friend across the street, my neighbor, actually is the guy that constructed. I mean, he didn't, you know, they made up the plans, but he constructed the building. Mm-hmm. And so when the review came out, he was a little bummed.
Yeah, because, you know, obviously. So the review was. To say it was scathing does not. To say it was scalding doesn't do it justice. It is the finest piece of culinary criticism I have ever read. And Pete Wells is a great writer for the New York Times. He just did this one on Per Se, which I loved, and he's very fair. He's very balanced, but you got to read it. What he wrote about Guy Fieri's Times Square restaurant. Just Google, you know, Pete Wells, Guy Fieri, and you'll see it. So in that context, my reviewer went to Planet Hollywood, and essentially what they texted me during the meal was, Pete Wells was kind.
Wow.
That was it. So we talked about it in advance, and the funny thing is I heard, like, you know, they did, like, I guess they did like a blogger night where they, or social media night where they had people over, and everyone said the food was really good. And even the day after, I heard people saying that they went the next day and the food was better than they expected. And I don't know if that's the, you know, the curse
of expectations.
It can't be worse than Dinosaur or Rainforest Cafe.
No.
T-Rex, you mean? T-Rex?
No. That's pretty bad. I got to go see for myself, because I've heard mixed things about it. You know, is it going to be the best place in Disney Springs? No. Is it going to be in the top 10 in Disney Springs? I can't see how, right? It's just.
But is there a market for it?
You know, there's going to be a market for that, like there's a market for T-Rex. Mm-hmm. That's the way I look at it. Yeah, you know, yeah. on the other side of the park, or the other side of Disney Springs.
There's always going to be people who can't get into the other restaurants that are just going to settle and go in.
Exactly. Yeah. I can't wait to try it out myself. If we're all done together, we shall go for a meal.
There's all kinds of interesting things I'm catching up on. I don't know if any of you are aware that they are going to have a character breakfast at Trattoria Al Forno.
Yeah,
sometime in the spring. You saw that?
Really?
They're going to bring in characters from Tangled. They're going to bring people from Little Mermaid. They're going to bring in. I mean, it's going to be
nothing says
royal
Italian
couples.
Like
chicken forest yeah. Italian restaurant. Come on, Chris.
I don't understand it, but I mean that's another thing. And
the guy who blows the whistle all the time outside.
You know, maybe, I'm guessing that's the only way they can draw people in. It's one of those deals where many years ago we heard that they were going to offer more character experiences, and it just exploded. You can't sometimes. I know I have to admit, I sometimes look for meals where I can avoid character character meals because I know that A, it adds to the cost of the meal, and B, I really don't want to, you know, I want to save that for the.
I want to be left alone while I'm eating.
Yeah. But I mean, that's.
Because then you got to pretend to care that the characters are there.
Yeah. We did the Garden Grill last month, and it was, or December, and it was, we had actually, the end was like, okay, you know, Pluto, go away. I got to eat.
I've seen you twice already.
I know. It was fitting. But I think the thing with Trattoria Al Forno is people don't realize that it's open for breakfast. And they would think, you know, oh, it's an Italian breakfast, whatever that is. but by, you know, like cannoli for everyone. By bringing the characters in, I think they hope to draw in some of that crowd. I'm not opposed to it. I think breakfast was actually a very good meal there. I really liked the breakfast there. You know, going character meal on it kind of is a little disappointing there, but that's fine. If more families like it, that's fine.
It's not all about you.
It's not all about me. That's fine. Yeah.
And there are a couple other things. I actually just want to mention one more thing and we can wrap up everything that they are. Disney is now testing. You may be aware of this, Len, they're testing the in-room dining.
Saw that. Yeah.
Express Fresh it's called. And, So people are probably saying, well, wait a minute, Mike, what's the difference between that and regular room service? With this in-room dining, which they're calling Express Fresh, the food will be packaged to be left at the guest room door rather than the requiring setup.
It's like Blue Apron?
Yeah, it's like Blue Apron.
Yeah, exactly.
make yourself in the room.
Yeah, everything's pre-measured. Yeah.
You get your food within 30 minutes of ordering.
And you should be able to microwave it or make it all in the coffee maker.
It's like a cutting board and a
chicken noodle soup.
Slow cook it before you go out. Put the coffee maker on low.
That's exactly what it should be. Like Blue Apron. Yes.
Anybody staying at the Contemporary
grilled cheese,
the Yacht Club
grilled cheese on your iron for your clothes iron.
That's funny.
Oh, that works perfectly.
Let's see how well this works.
Oh, my kids would blow
you
that.
Have to be at the. You have to be staying at the Contemporary, and you have to be staying at, you have to be in Heliopolis, staying at the Yacht Club, to be involved in any of this pilot program. It's only going to be tested over the next 6 weeks. So
when I think of Chris, I think of pilot programs. Not.
I wait for Len to say it's safe, and then I go in the water.
Oh my God!
That's all I have. Any of you guys have anything else? Oh,
Len,
yes,
are you running
thing.
Anymore?
One more thing.
Oh. It just started again, yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Wishes. We need to talk about.
I saw the price for the Dopey.
Can I just tell you? Oh. I just signed up for the Dopey. My wife and I signed up. We signed up for the racer treats for both half and full. We are already in for $1,700.
I was gonna say, yeah, it's gonna be close to $2,000 plus. Plus,
now, that's not without hotel. That's not without airfare. That's not without meals. And then, so
but
this
it's
year,
without
like,
the kids,
it is without those things.
No, we're gonna have the kids with us too.
Oh.
because they're going to be back from college at that point. So we're going to take them with us. But it's going to be a special one because we're gonna finish this one, Len, and then we're going to stay for a couple days, and then we're going to fly out to California and do the Star Wars Light Side the following weekend.
That's how they get you, man. That's how they get you.
So, yeah, it's a big giant. We wanted to just do it once.
You're going to spend like 10 grand on these two trips.
I know.
And two college tuitions, too.
It was expensive for only one person when I did that last year. Before we go, I want to spend 5 minutes more, guys, because we have to talk about Happily Ever After, which is replacing Wishes. Wishes has been around for 15 years, I think. Yeah. So any...
Yeah, 2003? Yeah, something like that.
Any... Yeah. Maybe... Yeah. Any,
are you sad, Mike?
I think I would be sad if Illuminations was going, but I think that from time to time...
Soon?
I think, yeah, could be. I think every 10 to 12 years, I think it's time for the Magic Kingdom to change a little bit. I think that the technology... is something that kind of forces their hand to do this. They take Wishes and they've been able to insert some flavors into that with the new technology, but I think that it's better to start brand new, and I think that this Happily Ever After may show some very interesting effects. So I'm looking forward to that, and I think that's going to happen in about 3 months. I think it's right in the middle of May. I think May 12th.
Yeah.
So it's 18
minutes.
That's
the big thing. So. That's the big thing. They're going to make way more use of the video projection mapping technology. I heard it's a new original score as well for Happily Ever After. So, you know, I mean, it's Disney's always going to show you the characters. They're always going to show you the same sort of like three act play for the characters. There's a limited thing that they get to work with. I think the video, this is the second generation of video mapping that they're doing. I'm excited to see what they do with that.
Yeah, so. I think it will be interesting to see how they can develop a show from scratch with this. One of the things that I noticed, which was very interesting about this show, is that obviously with any nighttime spectacular at Walt Disney World or Disneyland, the music is a big part of it. And from what I've been reading... they're going to use music from Pirates of the Caribbean, The Jungle Book, Beauty and the Beast, Moana, Brave, Big Hero 6, Zootopia, Princess and the Frog, Aladdin, The Little Mermaid, The Lion King, Frozen, of course, Frozen, Toy Story, Peter Pan, Sleeping Beauty, and Hunchback of Notre Dame.
But it's just
Notre
5 seconds of each of those.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And Tinkerbell.
A single note from each song.
And in case you were wondering, yes, Tinkerbell will begin the show.
Oh, good.
That's so good. It's going to be pretty good.
Speaking of Frozen, I saw Frozen on the Disney Wonder, the stage show. And I'm not a huge fan of A, Disney stage shows on cruise ships, or B, Frozen in particular. I thought it was fantastic. They did some effects on that show where, like, literally four times during the show, I said, wow. And I wanted to go back and see how they did the effects. So they do this one thing. So they're actually, speaking of the video projection, they're actually projection mapping onto Anna's body when she gets frozen and then unfrozen. So they projection map her body and she turns blue, and the transition is shown by projecting video, blue video, on her, just her body. And then when she thaws out, her skin becomes, flesh colored. And they reverse it. And it is amazing in its accuracy. It is in a live stage show, the video projection mapping looks amazing. And there are a couple of other costume changes that happen literally instantly during the show where you're like, wow, that was super impressive. But I thought that it was a fantastic show. And again, it's them figuring out how to use this new technology in surprising ways. And I think that's what Disney's been doing particularly well. I think Wishes has had a good run. Scope of seeing Wishes with You is one of my all-time favorite memories in the park. I'm looking forward to seeing this new one with you. I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Yep, gonna be something. I think that's it, guys. I think we've covered a lot. And Len, I want to thank you for coming on. I will be dragging you here next month to talk about more stuff. And as things change, I'm sure that there will be more news that comes out. And looking forward to another discussion.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
So for Chris Aliopoulos, for Len Testa, for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road, in the parks, on the cruise ships, and anywhere else where we can find Mickey. Bye-bye.
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. If you would like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/mickeymilespodcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/mickeymilespod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@mickeymilespodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.